At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer Vivo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN family and podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. We're going to be keeping it to two parts, and you're going to get a lot of two-part podcasts here in the next few months as we are now in the off-season portion of the college basketball year. When we do get Twitter questions, we'll go to three parts, and we'll just have part number one be just full of your Twitter questions, which you're able to fire in one of two ways. First one is the Twitter timeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean doesn't matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way, that's via an Apple Podcast review. And if you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. But we're going to have a nice chat with Jim Root coming up. He does tremendous work over there at the Three Man Weave. And I know on social media, he was talking about utilizing shot quality with regards to his handicapping, some of the things that he likes, some of the things that he doesn't like, and what we're really going to be talking about, because you know this podcast, Justin Perry, who does great work at Shot Quality Bets. He's a friend of ours, and he's a friend of Jim's as well. We're just going to be talking about models where there's blind spots with every one of them. I'm going to call out some of mine with regards to my daily handicap. Ken Pomeroy, Bart Torvik, they all do amazing work aside from the schlub named Greg Peterson, but we're going to be talking about just how every model does have some of its blind spots, the fact that you don't want to be utilizing one or two things as an end-all be-all for your handicapping, and ways to just be able to try to cut down on the paralysis by analysis as well. We're also going to be talking about sort of his futures betting strategy, as well as you may notice that on Twitter at Second Chance Points is where you're able to follow Jim Root. He's got a really nice spreadsheet of some of the top teams and all of their futures prices, what he's taking a look at right now, and just more or less his strategy. So we're going to be talking about that with Jim here in a minute in segment number one, and then in the final segment, segment number two, just going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday. We saw a couple of coaching hires, saw a few NBA draft decisions, and we saw a whole bunch of guys entering into the transfer portal. So we've got you guys all covered there. You know how to ask questions on this podcast, and you already know that it is going to be Jim Root of the Three Man Weave joining me here in a second. So let's dive into it right now with our good friend Jim. And Jim, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here, Greg. It was a whirlwind of a couple of weeks. I spent the first 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament in Vegas, once for a little more enjoyment, pleasure, and then the second weekend of covering the West region. Couple days back home, then out to Houston for the Final Four, was in person there. So I've seen a lot of basketball of late, but the season's over, starting to come down a little bit, but that doesn't mean we have any shortage of things to talk about. So excited to be on here and chatting with you.
No question about it. The hustle and bustle of handicapping 150 Saturday college basketball games is not going to be here for quite some time, but I know you're already paying attention to the futures market. I know that you tweeted this out, I would say midday on Wednesday, just sort of a little chart of some of the top teams, their futures odds, what some of the best and some of the worst numbers are. And how much do you take a look at this market right now? Because when I take a look at futures this time of year, your chart did a very good job of pointing this out. There's going to be a lot of books that are going to vary quite a bit on the number, which means that you do want to be shopping around. And on top of that, I think that this is prime time for taking more of a look at these longer shots rather than a team like a Duke that you're finding anywhere between 10 and 15 to 1. Because if a 100-to-1 shot goes down to 50 to 1, that's a far significant cut to your payout rather than if Duke goes from, say, 12 to 1 to 10 to 1.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, anyone listening, I am a Duke backer already. I got in on them at that 15, and it's because I do think that there's a chance that number goes down if Rokes and Filipowski both come back. So, you know, full disclosure and transparency for the people out there. But to your point, yeah, definitely. You can do a lot of speculative betting at this point. And I think if you want to do that, you want to look at teams that maybe have an open roster, something that is unsolved. One of the teams like St. John's, if you find a good price out there in St. John's, I don't know who's going to be on Rick Pitino's roster next year besides apparently Joel Soriano. But I like that he has the flexibility to go into the portal and add a bunch of different pieces. I like betting on a coach that has the openness and the opportunity to really improve his roster. There's some, you know, teams on that list that I put out there that, you know, maybe are a little more finished products at this stage. And those are teams that I'm typically less interested right now. You can go back to last year and some of the futures I put in April, and I got some pretty good value out of it. Alabama ends up the number one overall seed in the tournament. I had them 50-1. San Diego State goes to the NCAA final. I had them 125-1 from April. Of course, you have some bad ones, things that go bust, like Louisville 200-1, bet them because I was like, hey, new coach, empty roster. Maybe they'll make some improvements. That did not happen. They were terrible. But that's the risk you take. That's what you go for with these, you know, these really long shot ones. And some people don't like to tie their money up for that long, and I completely understand that. I've had success with futures and getting a decent return on it just by having enough good teams in a portfolio at quality prices. You add a couple more as the season goes on, a team like UConn that emerged early last season. I like doing that. So it's worked out for me, but it's not for everybody. And maybe you just want to pick a couple of horses and ride them all the way. I respect that approach too.
And how much do you sort of have teams that are in your system, coaches that you just want to back because you like them? As joining me on the podcast, we do have Jim Root, because I know you've joined me quite a few off seasons, and I know that one of your most popular features plays the last few off seasons has been Miami. They didn't win the national title game, but if you were able to hedge, if you were able to keep them on a good number like you did, you were able to do quite well with them, making the Elite Eight 2 years ago, making the Final Four this year. How about you take a look at just some of those teams that they've got boom potential, and year in and year out, you take a look at them if they're like north of 100-1?
Yeah, definitely. You try to find teams that are, you know, undervalued for one reason or another. You know, injuries can be a part of it. Before Miami went on that Elite Eight run, they had 2 years in a row where they just got ravaged by injuries, and they were bad, and people were starting to say Larrañaga should retire. And I, you know, stubbornly kept sticking with, I think this team can be good if they're healthy. And they had the benefit of a very deep pocketed NIL benefactor with Ruiz from LifeWallet. That certainly helped last year. But yeah, just taking flyers at that type of team, you know, in the same state. We've had two straight years of Florida State being really crushed by injuries. I don't know what that roster is going to look like. I haven't bet them yet. But I think if you have two good years in a row where you're healthy, the number's really, really different than what it is right now. So you got a chance to take a team that's pretty far down the board. Another team that I think is worth a look is Colorado, given the fact that they've got a couple of really high-level freshmen coming in. They can bring back a lot of pieces, be a little more experienced up and down the roster. And then one of the more, you know, like I said, blank slate bet on a coach teams would be Ole Miss. I know that Chris Beard has a lot of off-court questions, but if we're talking purely in terms of trying to maximize value, you can find a 300-1 out there on Ole Miss. And when Beard was at Colorado, you could barely get anything above 30 or 40 in the offseason. Now you're putting something way up in the hundreds. He's already gotten Jermaine Brakefield to come back, who had entered the portal. He's got a lot of open roster spots that's going to appeal to people. It's an SEC school that could probably find some NIL money. And then suddenly you've got one of the better coaches in the country in terms of X and O's and putting out a great product every year with a decent roster at 300-1. I think that's absolutely worth a look there, Greg.
And the way that I look at it as well, if you play out this college basketball offseason and into the season 300 times, does Ole Miss win that NCAA tournament at least twice? I would think so, which does provide value. Not to say that Ole Miss should be like 15-1 or anything like that, but certainly I do think that there is some value there, and I think that that is a tremendous point that you do make. And I know that you were making points about this on social media a couple days ago, because for those that listen to this podcast, you know that Justin Berry is someone that has joined me quite a bit over at Chalk Quality Bets. And Jim, I don't think I'm off base saying that he's a friend of yours as well. I think that he does a very good job with Chalk Quality. And I know you were sitting there thinking, oh man, you know what? It's been very strange taking a look at UConn's results in the NCAA tournament with their shot quality, showing that they should have probably lost some of these games, when in reality they were just blowouts. I just want to know how you utilize shot quality with regards to your handicapping, because the way that I view it, and I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree with this, it's a nice tool to have. It's something that you want to pay attention to. It by no means is an end-all be-all, and quite frankly, every single model on the face of planet Earth, from Ken Pomeroy to Greg Peterson, does have holes in it, and you can't be, well, blindly taking the data of one model and thinking that it's pretty much gospel.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I ended up giving a more clarification tweet after putting out a couple of the shot quality scores from UConn's run and saying, I think I said I was having trouble reconciling them. And I ended up talking to Justin a little bit about it, and I think they do a great job at shot quality. I have found a lot of value in it, particularly in betting totals, but really if you're finding teams in there, I think it does a great job of identifying teams that are due for some shooting regression. If they're making a lot of threes and looking really good, but their shot quality scores maybe aren't just blowing teams away, you could possibly identify teams that are going to trend up or trend down in that department. And I think that's really useful for totals and sides alike. But like you said, every model has got issues. Like, I make my own manual power ratings. I've got problems in that too. If those were as public as shot qualities were, people would probably skewer a few things in there, and they would be rightfully doing so. So I didn't mean to put them on blast. I think shot quality is a very beneficial product for a handicapper. It's something that should be in your tool belt if you're using it the right way. Like I said, now, regression candidates, teams that may be overperforming, some of the misleading final scores, which I think is a great way to beat markets like KenPom and Bartorvik, where, hey, it was a blowout for 37 minutes, and then a team went on a 10-0 run late or something like that. Just trying to find those little margins that might not get picked up in a big model like KenPom's or something that the odds makers are using as well. So shot quality does a great job of helping with that too.
Yep, and like I was mentioning, I think that every single model has their holes. Like, perhaps I take a little bit too much of a look at full season data rather than what we've been seeing in the last five games, what have you. Ken Pomeroy probably doesn't take into account injuries as much as you'd like him to, and maybe he goes a little bit too far with historic data towards being part of the season. Shot quality, they probably don't take into account that the shots that you take up 15 are going to be different from the ones that you take down 15 as well. And I think that that is so important to just remind people of as well, because I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people over the next few months that are going to be getting set for the college basketball season. I remember you were a part of the Field of 68's terrific almanac, which that was one of the best resources out there for all college basketball fans. But I think that we're in agreement that the more resources, the more models that you take a look at, the better. Don't just blindly trust all of your chips in one or two of these. Just go out there, try to get as much data as humanly possible, and use things like Ken Pomeroy, use things like my handicaps, use things like shot quality as one piece of a bigger puzzle.
Now, it's tough to avoid getting an overload of information. You got to try to find a way to filter it down into what really matters in each model. The more you do of it, the better you'll get figuring out which things you take value from, which parts of each model you think are important. Maybe it's the home court advantage from KenPom or something, or maybe like people really like the way you do totals and your handicapping on your sheet. Picking and choosing the things that are valuable to you and the way you try to handicap, that's very important, because there's so much out there. You just got to find out and filter down to the things that are most helpful to your individual process.
Yep, no question about it. And I do think that that is very important to do as well. Give yourself a little bit of a dry run period if you are trying out some of these new models, trying out a little bit new of a new data set. If you like what you're seeing, terrific. Stick with it. And if you don't, well, you can drop it at any point as well. As Jim Root, who does a great job over at the Three Man Weave, is joining me on the podcast. And Jim, a question about it. I don't think that we're going to be spending quite as many hours taking a look at college basketball right now as we would be, say, in January / February. But how much are you going to be taking a look at the transfer portal, and how much are you going to be updating your power rankings? Because I'm seeing all these way too early top 25s coming out, and I just think that it's a little bit of wasted energy right now. I'm actually going to dive into this a little bit more with Rocco Miller on the podcast tomorrow, but I think that it's just really difficult to have any sort of a gauge in terms of power ranking at top 25 right now, just because as we record this, there's over 1,300 players in the transfer portal, and I feel like there's way too many unknowns to be coming to any conclusions right now with regards to the upcoming college basketball season.
Absolutely. I do my power ratings all manually, making a number on every team, but I won't start doing that until after the NBA draft, after the portal has settled down. because I don't want to give myself an incorrect anchor point where, all right, I make a team a 90 on my scale, and then they add two pieces, and I'm like, okay, can I only add them 1 or 2 points because of how much are those guys worth? I just want to kind of leave it a clean slate until everything's a little more settled before I start making a rating. That does not mean I am not super tuned into the portal, though, because I have my general idea of how good I think teams will be at this stage and given their current roster. And then this is where we go circling back to our initial discussion, the futures odds. If I see a team add two really impactful pieces, if someone gets Hunter Dickinson and Max Asmus out of the portal, I'm going to run to whichever book has the best odds on that team and try to sneak in a futures bet. Maybe I don't think they're going to win the title, but if I can get really good value on them and eventually my portfolio has 15, 20 teams of really good value, you can run into a situation this year where I got kind of lucky with the teams I didn't have in my portfolio were Duke, Kansas, Arizona, Purdue, a bunch of powerhouse high seeds that lost early, and I ended up with a really good set of teams in like the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So I'm just trying to create the maximum value in my futures portfolio, and that's why I'm tuned into the transfer portal as much as I can. And I have a roster spreadsheet I update daily. I go into Verbal Commits' great transfer portal sheet and look at the new developments every day. I update my own roster sheet and just kind of stay current, because I think it's a great way to snipe out value in that futures market.
Yep, I'm glad that you pointed out Verbal Commits, because they're the main guys that I take a look at for just updated guys that are in the transfer portal. It's updated seemingly hourly. They do a really good job with
that
stuff. So,
I can't believe they do that much.
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't have that sort of time to do that, and I have time to handicap all these college basketball games every day throughout the college basketball season. So a big tip of that there, and a big tip of that to everything that you did this college basketball season, Jim, you and everyone over there at the Three Men. We've done an amazing job, and much like myself, I know that you guys are going to be doing a great job taking a look at everything that we get during the off season. Fortunately, we aren't going to be having as many 12 plus hour days taking a look at 150 games or anything like that, but you just mentioned it, your workflow throughout the off season, you're going to be doing a great job of gauging all this. And I know that there's going to be a little bit of work from you guys over there at the Three Man Weave coming in the next few months to prepare for the upcoming season. So let the good people at home know what's all tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, we're starting to sort out our potential off-season content plan, especially for the podcast. We'll do a big coaching hire grades podcast at some point. I would guess that's in maybe 2 weeks. We'll have a Final Four recap coming, a little bit more of a season recap coming this week. And then we'll talk a lot of maybe a big portal episode. We typically call it Oops All Portal, and we just get all into that. We'll probably do some recaps every conference. You know, the way we do previews, we'll do like almost a season in review for some of the high-level conferences and talk about where the program is at. That'll be on the Three Man Weave podcast, so feel free to check that out. And then the website, we'll probably sneak a few articles up there this offseason. I've got a couple ideas that I think might be interesting, and hopefully I'll get them written and people will read and find them entertaining as well. So the website, 3-man-weave.com, and then the Twitter, everything's sourced through there, like you said at the top, 3MW_CBB.
The gentlemen over there at the Three Man Weave are top-notch when it comes to taking a look at college basketball all 12 months out of the year. It's always a pleasure to get any of those three gentlemen aboard, and today it was our good friend Jim who joined me. A big thanks to him for joining me on Cusco Soups, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and coming next, this is that time of the podcast to give you a bit of a roundup as to everything that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Epps-Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Jim Rood aboard. I thought that was a really good chat with him about just utilizing different models, because we were talking about just utilizing shot quality with regards to our data. I think that it's just a very good message in general. Don't put all your chips in the basket in one model, whether that be Kemp Pomeroy, Bartorvik, shot quality, Greg Peterson. I mentioned three really good ones and one schlub by the name of Greg Peterson, but I mean, they all do absolutely tremendous work. But I think every single one of us would tell you that every single one of these models, they do have a little bit of a hole in there. None of us are playing the role of God or anything like that. These are still humans going out there on the court. There's going to be hits. There's going to be misses. And a man that hits every single time with great analysis on this podcast is Jim Root. So a big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday. And the biggest thing was Mr. Kerr Creasa. He has decided that he is going to be going to West Virginia. They should still be getting Jose Perez as well, because he was at Manhattan last year. As we know, Manhattan had that coaching change with about 2 weeks remaining in the offseason. He decided to transfer just before the start of the season. Could not become eligible. So got a lot of guard play that is going to be over there at West Virginia for Creasa. 9.9 points, 5 assists. In the biggest of moments, he has not come up the world's greatest, but he was able to shoot 36% from three-point range, and if there's a guy that knows how to develop guards, it is Bob Huggins. So I do think that he is going to be able to do a good job with Kerr Creasa, and this is a net positive for West Virginia. How far it's going to take them, that is a big giant question mark, but a big get for West Virginia. I do think that they are on the up and up in a Big 12 that is going to be looking a little bit different for this upcoming season, but I do think that they're going to be able to make some noise. Jackson Grant, a former top 100 recruit of Washington, has decided that he is going to be going to Montana State. In 2 years under the Washington system, he just did not find any minutes. Let's call it what it is. He was ranked number 65 according to ESPN's top 100 for the class of 2021. 6'10", little bit more of a back-to-the-basket big man. He's been working on trying to pop some threes. That hasn't necessarily done so very well, but I mean, he just didn't see any minutes whatsoever. Averaged 6.3 minutes per contest. Just really didn't get the ball at all, so we shall see what happens there. He is a native of the state of Washington. And Raekwon Battle, who began his career at Washington, he had great success going over to Montana State. He became their team's top scorer, so we shall see if that pipeline continues. Zane Meeks, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. He last season was playing over at San Francisco and towards the back half of the year was able to have himself a solid campaign. Year number one at San Francisco, he took a fall off this year. About 11 points per contest, 5 boards, shot 32.5% from 3 as a 6'9", a little bit of a versatile combo player. I do think that there is great potential for him. Where he's going to be going, that is very much TBD. And like I said on the podcast yesterday, I really don't speculate in terms of where these guys are going to be going, but certainly I am fascinated to see what happens there. And I do think that he is going to be a highly touted guy. These two guys are going as a package deal, as Fusani and Asandrame have decided that they're going to be going to Duquesne. This after they lose Jalen Cole Williams, who really didn't do a lot, and Quincy McGriff for Asandrame, 6.5 points, 4.5 boards. Both of these guys are able to shoot threes at around 6'7", 6'8". Asan, he was able to shoot right around 31.5% from three-point range. Fusani was a better rebounder with 9 points, 5.3 boards, but shot 26% from three. Just really did not work out for them at LaSalle this last season. So you got pretty much a 2-for-2 in this instance with McGriff. He was able to give the team about 5.5 points as a 6'6", little bit of a combo player, came in from the community college level and did shoot 34.5% from three-point range. So essentially a 2-for-2 trade on this one. One of the stars of Lamar, which Lamar did not necessarily have the world's greatest year, but a gentleman from Japan, and Yuto Yamanashi Williams, he has decided that he is going to be going from Lamar and he's going to be heading over to Portland. Did a solid job in the Southland this last year, being able to register about 6.9 points, 7 boards. He also did chip in there nearly a block per contest, actually, was out there in Japan. So he is coming over to Portland, and I do think that he's going to be able to help them out down low. He was on a team that really didn't play a lot of defense. He was trying to play defense, but guys around him was not necessarily lending a lot of support. So we shall see what happens there. And you've got Justin McCoy. He was playing at North Carolina this last season and just really couldn't find his way out there on the floor. Began his career at Virginia, was not a top 100 recruit, was more in that 200 or so range, and in limited minutes in the ACC, never really was able to shine. His best year probably came during the 2020-21 season with Virginia, when he had 3.5 points, 3.5 boards. That year, he drained 33% of his threes. He's a 6'8", bit of a combo player, and he's going to be heading over to Hawaii. We have seen Hawaii be able to bring in guys like a Kameka Hepa, who began his career at Texas, was a relatively highly touted guy, and they have been able to develop. So I do think that this is going to be big for them. Quentin Meloria Brown has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. While at Vanderbilt this last season, he was really able to pick up steam a little bit more towards the back half of the season, only registered about 3.5 points, 4.3 rebounds per game, began his career at Rice, Go Owls. Never really did a ton with Rice, but you take a look at what he was able to do towards the back half of the season from March on in. He had some relatively solid results. He got elevated into a starting role with the injury that was unfortunately suffered by Liam Robinson. Didn't give the team a lot of scoring with 4 points per game, but 1.5 blocks, 6.4 rebounds per game. So a relatively good back-to-the-basket guy that is now available in the transfer portal. We're up to about 1,320 guys in the transfer portal. So it is really starting to fill up right now. Jameer Chaplin, he was playing at South Florida this last year, averaged 7.5 points per game. He was a starter that tried to shoot threes, didn't necessarily shoot them very well, a career 22.5% three-point shooter, but he is now out there in the transfer portal. Really, he's going to need to develop that three-point shooting range to be able to be a relatively highly touted transfer, but someone that does come from what used to be a defense-oriented system, just really couldn't keep up with what South Florida was looking to do, and South Florida has now underwent a coaching change with Brian Gregory now being out. They replace him with Abdul Rahim, who comes in from Kennesaw State, so got a lot of changes there, and he has decided that he is going to be going into the portal. Dale Bonner, along with Zach Lovedale, they both have decided that they are going to be entering in the transfer portal. Both of these guys were ancillary pieces for Baylor. Dale Bonner, I honestly thought, had a relatively solid season, as he was able to supply the team with a few starts, registered 4.5 points, 2.7 assists per contest, and did shoot 37.5% from three-point range with Loveday. He was only able to give the team about 1 point per contest. He was very much an afterthought for them, so we shall see what happens there. We've got a pair of Solomons. They're now out there in the transfer portal as Matt Solomon. He was playing at Binghamton this last year, and Gary Solomon was at Southern Indiana. And for Gary, he was able to register 5.5 points per contest, was able to see some okay minutes, not much of a three-point shooter on a team that was really looking for some good, sharp three-point shooting, so that was not necessarily the world's greatest fit. And then for Matt Solomon, he actually began his career at CSUN, 2.5 points per contest, just could never find his footing at either of those schools, so he has decided that he is going to be jumping ship. Aaron Gray is an interesting cat out there in the portal as he comes in from Niagara, one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball. But had good numbers, 12.5 points, 4.5 boards. Began his career at Southern New Hampshire, a non-D1 school, shot 33% from three-point range. We're going to have on Rocco Miller, who does a tremendous job of gauging college basketball tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit more about these guys that have come up from the non-D1 ranks and have really been able to make some impacts. This guy's always been a D1 hooper. That'd be Kalen Boone, 6'8" combo player that last year at Pacific was able to be in a starting role and was solid. Shot 41% from three, 14 points, 4.2 rebounds per game. He's out there in the transfer portal. Didn't really see a whole heck of a lot of playing time with Oklahoma State, but when he was able to get his opportunities and he was able to do a very solid job with them at Pacific. Now, Pacific played absolutely no defense whatsoever, but he was able to have a good showing this last season, so you got to figure that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be interested with him. Ugonna Kingsley Onyeso. He reclassified into the class of 2021 to be able to give a little bit of depth for Kentucky. Just did not see the minutes that you were hoping for from him. 7 minutes per contest, 2.5 points, 2.5 rebounds. He is in the transfer portal. Had he not reclassified, this would technically be his freshman year, and he's got a lot of upside. Not a guy that's going to go out there, step out, shoot threes or anything like that, but he is able to be a nice back-to-the-basket guy. He's able to give you some rebounds, some blocks, so we're going to see where he ends up, because I do think that there's a lot of upside with him, a little bit out of sight, out of mind with his lack of playing time. Anthony Walker was a part of that Miami team that made the Final Four, but saw a diminished role the last two seasons after being a starter 2 years ago, averaging about 9.5 points, 4.5 boards. Never has been a good three-point shooter career. 20% three-point shooter. Decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, just 2.8 points per game this past season. At 6'9", I think that he could be able to help out a little bit of a lesser program, but you could tell that Miami was just able to really elevate themselves this last season, so he is out there in the portal. This man is going to be staying within the SEC, as we've got a lot of guys that are going to be making their decisions in future weeks, but this man has already decided that he is going to be going to LSU. That would be Jordan Wright, and he was Mr. Wright for Vanderbilt. 12.5 points per game during the 2021-22 season. A little bit of a dip this year with 10.6 points per contest, but increased his doling out abilities to a little bit over 2 assists per game. A steal, shot about 31.5% from 3-point range. And really for Jordan Wright, he just got off to a relatively rough start to the season, and then he was able to finish with a flurry in the last 8 games of the season for him. He was able to give the team 6.5 boards, 2 steals, 2.8 assists, 15 points per contest. Really did save his best for last, so I'll see if they're able to get that form of him. They're going to be very happy with that. I do think that South Dakota is going to be very happy with this addition, as Caleb Stewart, he was playing this last year at Louisiana Tech. He has decided that he is going to be going to South Dakota, a former Conference USA all-freshman performer from a few seasons ago. This year, he gave the team 5.5 points per contest, shot only about 27% from three-point range, but this is a bunch in South Dakota that they played relatively no defense whatsoever, so being able to get someone like him in the fold, I think that that is going to be very big, and we saw quite a few big names enter into the transfer portal as Daniel Pacho. He's a relatively well-traveled man. He was playing at Texas Tech this last season. They've underwent a coaching change, averaged 8 points, 6 boards as more of a back-to-the-basket big man that was able to offer a block and a half per contest. He is now one of the most highly touted people out there in the transfer portal. I'm very curious to see where he goes. Brandon Newman, he's out there in the portal as well. Good glue guy guard for Purdue. Not someone that's going to light it up and give you like 15 plus points per game or anything like that, although it's a career about 34% three-point shooter, but this year he was able to average 6 points, did a good job with his on-ball defense, a little bit over an assist per game. One of those just good guys to have on your roster, just really elevates the play of so many others, so I'm very curious to see what happens there. Latrell Wrightsell, he was an all-Big West performer this last year. 16.5 points per game as a starter. He lit it up, shooting 38.5% for three, a career 85.5% free throw shooter, stealing half per contest. He's now out there in the transfer portal. You've got Jakari Spence. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. He, this last year, was playing over at Monmouth. And while he was at Monmouth, he was able to put up some okay numbers, right around 3.5 assists, 4 points per contest. Clearly a pass-first guy on a Monmouth team that had absolutely no shooters whatsoever. You can imagine that that didn't necessarily pan out the world's greatest for anyone. So we shall see where he is going to be going. I like this guy, as I think that this is going to be one of the more underrated limited transfers out there in the portal. Wiza Ponzo, 6'7" combo player that was playing at Stetson this last year, shot 46.9% from three with 8.5 points, 4.5 boards, just under a steal per contest. Really good handles for a guy his size. I think that someone will really like him if they pick him up in the transfer portal. So that was a very interesting one, and one that is going to be flying a little bit more under the radar. Noah Farrakhan, he was the top scorer of Eastern Michigan 2 seasons ago with Imani Bates in the fold. Took a little bit more of a backseat this year, 16.5 points per game 2 seasons ago, 12 points per game this past year. 2 years ago, did shoot 40% from three. That was down to 24% this season. You could tell having the ball in his hands a little bit less, that did negatively affect him. So he's going to be looking to get back into form. He is entering into the transfer portal. Noah Williams just could not find his footing this last year at Washington, and he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. You may recall Williams, when he was playing at Washington State, he had some big-time performances. Just couldn't get out there for Washington this year. Was limited to only 14 games, 8.5 points per contest. I still remember, I think he had like a 40-point game for Washington State a few seasons ago, so we're going to be seeing where he ends up. Jacob Groves, one of the Groves brothers, as Tanner is currently not in the transfer portal, but Jacob, he is. Both of these guys began their career at Eastern Washington. Jacob, he was more of the sharpshooter among the two, 6.8 points per contest, shot 38.5% for three. Tanner, a little bit more of a guy with size that's able to rebound, so he is in the transfer portal. It's going to be interesting to see if his brother follows suit. We don't have a lot of guys that have decided where they're going to be going yet in the portal, but this guy decided that he is going to be heading to George Washington, our nation's first president, and that'd be Garrett Johnson, a smart kid who was playing over at Princeton this last year, really was unable to get out there on the court, but he has decided that he is going to be making a little bit of a move. So we did see a lot of transfer portal additions on Wednesday, and we did see quite a few coaching moves as well, with NJIT giving the head coaching position to Grant Billmeyer. Billmeyer was formerly an assistant coach, and I believe that he played a little bit as well, if I remember correctly. He was on Kevin Willard's staff this last season, and Maryland was able to do a solid job with their defense. You've got to figure that NJIT still going to be playing relatively slowly, not necessarily a super-duper up-tempo team, but I believe that Bill Meyer actually spent a little bit of time with NJIT in the past, so I do think that that is going to be a good get for them, and you can tell that Kevin Willard did a relatively solid job of coaching up this Maryland team this last season, so we're going to see what happens on that front. Something that was relatively expected, as the star of the Kansas Jayhawks from last season has decided that he is going to be entering in the NBA draft, foregoing that last year of eligibility in Jalen Wilson. He had an incredible year, right around 20 points, 8 boards, was able shoot in the mid-30s from three-point range. This is not completely unexpected, and I believe that he spent already 4 years at Kansas, so it was whether or not he was going to be utilizing that COVID fifth year, and he has decided that he is going to be passing on that. So congratulations to him on a wonderful career, and this is really a shocker. This is coming in just as I am wrapping up this podcast, and I can't believe what I've seen. Wisconsin is adding someone in the transfer portal. This is not a test. This is not an April Fool's Day prank, as that happened a few days ago. They are getting Noah Reynolds, who is one of the top scorers from Wyoming this last season. 14.5 points per contest. 2 assists. Shot right around 33% from three-point range this year. When Wyoming made the NCAA tournament, was shooting more around 41.5% from distance. An actual good get from Wisconsin in the transfer portal. Maybe after going, 9 minutes and 7 seconds to end your season with as many points as Greg Peterson, 0 in the NIT semifinal, that Greg Gard got it into his skull that you need to, add someone in the transfer portal, but he has done so. So congratulations there, Grant Sherfield. He has put his name in for the NBA draft. I'm not sure if he's going to be keeping his eligibility or not. Wouldn't blame him if he decides to just go pro. In his 2 years at Nevada, he was averaging 6 assists per contest this last year at Oklahoma. His assists were down to about 3.3, but was a good primary scorer for a team that played relatively slow. 16 points, 3.3 assists, shot 39.5%. from distance as well, and then another guy that's able to light it up, Jordan Dingle, who averaged 23.5 points per game. I believe that was number 2 in all of college basketball. A high 30s three-point shooter, guy that really doesn't do a lot outside of being able to score, but a very, very good scorer. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the NBA draft, and he is going to be maintaining his eligibility. So very fascinated to see where that goes, and that's what we're going to be doing this offseason, trying to hunt and gather just everything that we can to get you guys set for what is going to be an amazing 2023-24 season. We've got no shortage of time between now and the first game of the season, so if at any point on this podcast podcast, you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNet_D1. Keep in mind, letter ZM, the name does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to Jim Root of the Three Man Weave for joining me in the last segment, and I'll be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, whether that's regular season, off season, whether we're breaking down games, or if we're doing conference previews, which should be coming your way more towards very late May / early June. So appreciate you guys tuning in once again today, and I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.